Voice of America is the U.S. government-funded foreign broadcaster created in 1942 that provides news to hundreds of millions of people in 40 languages. But today, VOA and other U.S.-funded media outlets are in a state of chaos. Trump appointee Michael Pack recently took over the U.S. Agency for Global Media, which oversees the outlets, and fired the heads of all the networks and many senior staff. Yesterday, bipartisan Senate leadership issued a letter disapproving of the move and vowing to do a review of the agency's funding. Senators say they fear that the U.S.-funded international media could lose its independence and become a Trump administration propaganda tool, weakening the fight against disinformation abroad. Joining us today is Adam Applebaum, staff writer at The Atlantic and a senior fellow of the Agora Institute at Johns Hopkins University. Welcome back to the show, Anne.
Thank you.
So, Anne, before we get into the specifics of what happened, can you explain exactly how government-funded international media outlets work?
Sure. It's very important to remember that there are different kinds of outlets. On the one hand, there's Voice of America, which transmits news about the United States and tells the opinion of the United States in different languages around the world. On the other hand, there's also a series of networks that used to be radio stations. Now they, of course, broadcast in video and online. Radio Free Europe is the most famous. There's also Radio Free Asia. There are stations that broadcast in the Middle East and in Cuba. And these stations are very important because they are not U.S. government propaganda. And what they do is they, in countries where there is no free media or where the media is threatened, they seek to provide real information and good information. And so people tune into them to hear what's going on in their own countries. VOA has a slightly different status, but it too also seeks as much as possible to act like a real journalistic outlet. So there is a firewall between VOA and the other stations and the U.S. government. They are not directly controlled by the White House or the State Department or by anybody else. And historically, they've all been run by bipartisan boards, so people from both political parties that sought to keep them separate from the government and to keep them kind of journalistically honest. And that, to be honest, was their value. This is why people listen to them. I mean, if they'd just been propaganda outlets like, you know, the Russian government puts out or the Chinese government, then they wouldn't have so many listeners. But in particular, these local stations that use local journalists and broadcast in local languages, sometimes very dangerous places. You know, there's a Uyghur language outlet in which people really risk their lives to work for this station and to get news about what's really happening. And they work hard to get out, you know, accurate, real information. So it's very important, has been considered important historically, that all of these stations have maintained real journalistic credibility.
So, Anne, who's Michael Pack? We know he was appointed by the president and went essentially and removed all the people who were there. So who is he and what's his strategy so far?
Michael Pack is a documentary filmmaker. He's an acquaintance of Steve Bannon, who has been vocally supporting him. He's been kind of hanging around in conservative circles for a long time. He was appointed by Trump 2 years ago to run the U.S. Agency for Global Media, which is the umbrella organization that controls all these VOA and RFE and the other networks. His nomination took a long time to get through the Senate, 2 years, and that's largely because Senate Republicans were very wary of him. They didn't trust him to keep the institution, as I said, bipartisan and separate from politics as it has historically been. Finally, Trump pushed them to move forward with his nomination in June, and he came into the stations and immediately did actually much more than people had feared he would do. He not only fired the head of VOA but the head of all of the stations, including some Republican appointed CEOs, and he also dissolved the bipartisan board. And replaced it with a very, very strange board, which contains mostly mid-level Trump appointees from other agencies, none of whom have any background either in broadcasting or in foreign policy. So it looks like he's just appointed people whom he can control. Nobody really knows why he's done this, whether he now wants to make the stations into kind of Trump, you know, pro-Trump broadcasting agencies, or whether he just wants to do kind of more nationalist broadcasting like the Chinese government does, you know, America First broadcasting. But he's really, really disoriented and disordered the building, and without any, as I say, without so far any clear goal.
And we saw bipartisan Senate leaders issue a letter on Wednesday where they objected to the changes at the U.S. Agency for Global Media. And I mean, there isn't a lot of bipartisan movement in D.C. these days. So what does this tell us?
No, I mean, first of all, it tells us how shocked people were and surprised by what PAC did in his first couple of days in office. Secondly, it reflects the fact that apparently PAC has not been answering phone calls or emails from Congress. He doesn't seem to want it to. He seems to have not taken on board the fact that this is a congressionally funded institution, and at some point he's answerable to Congress. I think it also reflects the fact that Congress acknowledges, and if you talk to Senate staffers, they will, the law that enabled PAC to abolish his board that was passed at the end of the last Congress was badly written, that Congress has somehow taken away the guardrails, has allowed this to happen. And even Republican senators acknowledge that this was a terrible mistake. And I'm assuming that it's a prelude to some change in the law or some attempt to, to create some oversight for the agency. But, you know, it's a little late. I mean, they should have thought of that before allowing somebody this irresponsible to take over this extremely important job. I mean, I just can't emphasize enough how many people all over the world depend on U.S. technology to get around censorship, depend on real information produced by U.S.-funded journalists and radios and television. You know, this is maybe the most important tool that U.S. foreign policy has in getting through the enormous propaganda, waves of propaganda that is created by authoritarian regimes all over the world.
And we've talked about the importance of these outlets and specifically the technology that has allowed for people to communicate outside of repressive regimes. How else will these changes affect people abroad, for example, thinking about places like Russia?
Well, you know, look, one of the main tasks of these stations, so Russia is reached by a service called Radio Liberty, which has been in operation for decades, and has spent a lot of time, the journalists who work there have spent a lot of time over the last several years thinking about how to fight Russian propaganda, how to counter Russian lies, both inside Russia and around the world. There is a real danger that this really quite thoughtless attempt to undermine the credibility of these networks will harm that effort. So again, we're talking about Russian propaganda in the region, in Europe, around the world. It may now become easier for whether it's RT, the Russian television station, or Sputnik, the Russian government's website, to get across information. As I said, they've been countered by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and that may now, those counters may now weaken. Remember how difficult it is for the U.S. government to get its message across in markets like that. Most people are very cynical, and they'll say, well, okay, our government lies, but, you know, the U.S. government lies, you know, we don't believe anybody. And one of the few ways in which you can reach people is by creating services that have some credibility. So voices that people recognize, sometimes even as cultural programs. VOA for decades had a very famous jazz program that 30 million people listen to around the world. Sometimes it's cultural programs. Whatever it is that creates credibility and builds trust. This, with literally one set of acts, you know, the Trump administration has very badly damaged that trust. And this could have political significance in all kinds of ways that we haven't even thought of yet.
Could this affect Americans here at home?
Well, one of the questions is, you know, what is PAC trying to do with this? It is actually illegal for these broadcasters to reach Americans. I mean, they were banned from broadcasting in the United States many decades ago. I mean, that's become a little bit more tricky now that they put material out on websites that, of course, Americans can access. And one of the questions is, well, maybe PAC has fired everybody because he intends to use the broadcasters in order to reach Americans, you know, to create some kind of Trump TV, you know, that now that Trump has lately been a little bit, you know, dismayed by Fox News, which doesn't support him 100% all the time, you know, maybe he wants his own propaganda outlet that will reach Americans and help him win the election. I mean, it's a little far-fetched.
And to that point, I mean, doesn't Trump have enough money to create that on his own?
I mean, he could, but why not? You know, this is, we're talking about existing media outlets that have millions and millions of dollars of government funding already, that already exist. You know, so you don't have to create them from scratch. And also, by the way, I don't think Trump does have enough money to create his own media outlets, you know, at that scale, certainly not at the moment. You know, as I say, this would be illegal, and it's, you know, it's hard to see how exactly it could be done between now and November. But, you know, again, these are very irresponsible people. They don't seem to know what it is they're doing. I mean, one of the other oddities is that they fired everybody without seeming to have a clear idea exactly who they would put in their place at the various outlets. So, you know, maybe they'll try something.
Anne Applebaum is a staff writer at The Atlantic and a senior fellow of the Agora Institute at Johns Hopkins University. Anne, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.